Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You fucking cunts.
Full time, 1-1. Could have been a lot worse. But Mari Gray, thankfully, at the end, equalising. Paddy Boylan, what are you thinking after that?
I mean, it could have been a lot worse. 1 point now after three games. Everton's first goal scored by an actual Everton player. So there are some very, very small crumbs of comfort and an emphasis there on the double very. It took them until the last 10 minutes to finally play with the kind of intensity that we wanted them to. But it's the same story as in the other two games. They don't look like scoring goals, not regularly, completely blunt at the top end of the pitch. And until that changes, there's going to be days like today.
I think Everton started well and faded. Just some of the players coming over now. Mason Holgate, Frank Lampard and Anthony Gordon are having a chat. Anthony Gordon in particular is spending a bit of time clapping the fans. Looks a little bit like that, doesn't it? Looks a little bit like a farewell. Gordon, of course, had that great chance at the end to win it as well. Conor Cody's here too. Yeah, what did you make of that from Gordon there?
See you, lads. Nice one.
I thought he was one of Everton's best players.
He's still abroad, isn't he now? He's taking his time.
I mean, some people would look at that and think that's a goodbye. I suppose you've got other players still out on the pitch, so we have to emphasise that, don't we? I thought he was good. I thought it was the Anthony Gordon of last season. Kind of quite relentless off the ball, driving at the opposition, committing men. But again, the Anthony Gordon of last season, just without that final bit of quality. There's a chance right at the end. And look, Everton drawing against Nottingham Forest, not totally on him. There's a chance at the end where he looks to hook it over Henderson. I think if he touches it either side, he either wins a penalty or he has a clear shot at goal. And for me, that's just the final bit with Anthony Gordon. That's the one thing that stops him. And means that he's not a top-class Premier League player, but he's just a good or a very good Premier League player. You can't fault his work rate. I thought he was relentless. I thought he drove the team on. one of the better displays in blue, along with probably Alex Iwobi. Again, for the third consecutive game. But it kind of feels like we watched three consecutive 90 minutes that have been very similar. With the same issues to discuss, the same Achilles heel.
It was just a bit of a poor aside today. You just switched off and let us back.
A poor aside comes with three centre-backs and two wing-backs that at certain points weren't always particularly high up the field. And that presents up some of the different problem then, because it's how do you break them down? Where's the guile? Where's the creativity? And it kind of felt to me as though most of Everton's best chances were either things that broke in the box, long balls over the top, set pieces, shots from range. It wasn't really Iwobi picking up the ball and threading it through a ball. Guile. There wasn't much of that. So it was almost like most of the chances that came were forced mistakes, or they were kind of shots to nothing from range. And like I said earlier, until that changes, until there's more thrust in the final third, you leave yourself susceptible to that moment. And Forest had a build-up of what, maybe 10-15 minutes worth of pressure where they started applying it, and we both said to each other, this is coming, they look more likely, they're going to score here. So it was no surprise when they did. You just leave yourself susceptible to that moment, and that's going to be the story of the season if they don't do something very soon in the market.
Finally, before we head back to the boozer, I imagine Frank Lampard, Kevin Farwell, Bill Kenwright, everybody will be, it's a bad result, 1-1 at home against Forest, but they'll be very, very relieved.
Because,
you know, it felt like it was on the brink of going there, didn't it? Just before we scored.
It was fractious, wasn't it? It was fractious, and look, the fans have got every right to be disappointed by the start of the season and by the lack of forward planning in the transfer market. Now, you can't fault the club for going out and buying Onana. You can't fault the club for going out and paying money on Dwight McNeil. Whether or not they're the right players, I guess, remains to be seen. But what you can do is you can say they've lost Richarlison. They've not replaced the goals. They've got a lad there in Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who spent the year, more or less two-thirds of the season, out injured. So you can't rely on those players. You can't kind of pin all your hopes on them staying fit and coming good. So it could have been even worse, like I say. It absolutely could have been. There were times there where it felt very close to tipping point if we didn't quite go over. McNeil sending.
Yeah, that was the bad pass when she played it. That was the one.
That, and then the corner that went straight out to the Gladys Street end. It was close to tipping point. You've got to praise the resolve. You've got to praise the likes of Damari Gray, Alex Iwobi, Anthony Gordon driving Everton one, because this could have been even worse against a newly promoted side. But the door's open at the opposite end of the pitch. They're not leaking loads of chances. They haven't done in any of the games they've played. But they're just, it's one mistake, one ricket. And if teams score against Everton, they're more or less safe in the knowledge right now that Everton aren't going to score two. They might get one, but they're not going to score two. So look, very similar to the Villa game for me, and very similar to the Chelsea game, with a slightly better result. As I said to you about 60 minutes in, Everton can't afford to write off any game at the moment. The margins were so tight last season that they can't afford to write off games to 1-0s, 1-1s against sides like these. Everton need to be beating Nottingham Forest at home. They need to be picking up points. And it just places a load of pressure now on a couple of away games. A game against Brentford away, which is tricky. It's really tricky, given the way they play and the result they got against Man United. After that, you've got Leeds away at Elland Road. And let's be honest, Elland Road as a night game, it's going to be an intimidating proposition. So it's a time now for the Everton board, the Everton director of football, Kevin Farwell, Frank Lampard, to get players through the door to make sure the squad is strengthened for those games. But it's also time now for those players to show resolve again. They have to show real resolve to go away and get and pick up some points, because they need a win from somewhere, don't they?
Yeah,
they absolutely need to get a win from somewhere in the next two or three. Otherwise, all of a sudden, it's back to Everton Crisis Club, the narrative on Sky and wherever else. Everton Crisis Club, is Lampard going to lose his job? And we can't be back there again. It just can't afford to happen again. There have been so many resets, so it's all on time and a couple forwards for me.
We're in the bowels of Goodison now and about to make our way out onto to Gladys Street, where hopefully Matt Flusk and his hour man are going to pick us up and take us back to town. So you'll hear from us in the Denby Castle in about 5 or 10 seconds.
Right, we're back in the Denby Castle. Anyway, as a reminder, they are our sponsors.
there's a great boozer, you can get some wonderful ale. Paddy,
just listen to what Mike said last week. Yeah, the one against Chelsea.
What are you tucking into there, Patrick?
Don't know actually. What's it called?
Matt, do you want to explain?
It's a juicy IPA.
Judicious IPA. I think it's Kirkstall Brewery.
Yes, that's right.
Where's that?
Near Leeds, I imagine.
Oh, Kirkstall, yeah.
But yeah, we just made it back to town. A lot of traffic around with the strikes on and stuff. And this is some interesting phone-ins on the way as well. Matt, come to you first. Me, how do you feel after that today?
Immediately after the game, I was furious, absolutely furious. I felt more angry, more despondent than I did after the Chelsea loss, which is something considering. Because, I mean, Chelsea's Chelsea. I know that we beat them at home more often than not, but it's a cliche to say that the game was there for the taking today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not even like we had ourselves in a good position and threw it away. And it's just like, it's like we not even tried to lose, but it's just the substitutions, that complete change of the game at the substitutions, the change in formation, the change in personnel, the change in intensity in midfield. It just didn't need to happen at all. It really didn't. And yeah, I just left that ground just wanting to punch the wall. It just didn't need to happen.
I feel like talking about it again is getting you riled up again. I have to calm it down a little bit. But no, we were in the ground there, Paddy, and we spoke about Anthony Gordon as it was happening, how it felt like he lingered, certainly, when other players sort of came off. And there's going to be a lot of focus on him. You know, we were just listening to a phone in there, and people saying he played like his head was elsewhere today. I think that is unfair, isn't it?
It's unfair because I think the one thing that we saw from today was work rate and endeavour. I think I probably said this to you at the time, Matt, but from the point at which Everton went 1-0 down, to me, two or three players were visibly trying to get that team going again. One of them was Anthony Gordon. The other one was Damari Gray. And then the third one, as we've come to expect now, was Iwobi in central midfield. And for my money, Iwobi was probably Everton's best player again. Davis, alongside him, had a pretty decent game. And I wouldn't have taken him off, to be honest. I think the substitutions that Lampard made coincided with Forrest's best spell in the game. And then their goal lost a bit of structure, not only in central midfield, but also further forward as well. But in terms of Gordon, I think it's the Gordon we've come to expect. The one that is so full of promise, so brimming with promise. Pacey, direct, really good out of possession in terms of winning back the ball. And he did that on several occasions. So I think, as we heard on the phone in after the game, to accuse him of having his head elsewhere, I think is really unfair. It's a gross injustice, and I don't think that's right. What we did see was him getting into the same dangerous positions but not being able to finish chances or pick out the final pass. And that's the final step for Anthony Gordon. He wouldn't acknowledge that himself. He would acknowledge that if you look back at his body of work last season, 4 goals and 2 assists, as it was, is not going to take you on to the next stage, which is either a move to, let's say, for example, a Chelsea or playing for England and gaining full honours. Those numbers don't carry enough weight. So he knows that he needs to work on that. But it was a performance, I thought, where he kind of he gave every last ounce. And the reason for Everton drawing 1-1 is not because Anthony Gordon supposedly didn't try or has got his head elsewhere. There are a multitude of reasons, by the way. One of them is the lack of planning, as we discussed earlier, with regards to the striking options. I think the other is seeding momentum after the substitutions and allowing Forrest to get a foothold in the game, when they're a poor team. They should never have had a foothold in that game at all. And the third one, I think, and we were saying this at the time, was Everton actually looked quite lively for the first 15-20 minutes, I'd say, but never again really looked like scoring. There's just this general sense, I think, and we could see this from Forrest, almost kind of visibly grown in stature, that sides work out after a while that Everton can't really hurt them too much and they're not going to do too much, and then that just gives them a second lease of life. It pushes them on. They know they're going to have a moment in the game. And if they have one moment, they're going to get at least a draw. If they have two moments, they're going to win, as we've seen in previous matches. So it feels like we're kind of going around in circles with this. That's 270 minutes of football where a lot of the patterns are the same. A lot of the things that happened are the same. I think the only difference here was against Villa, Lampard's substitutions had a positive impact and pushed Everton on. I think against Forest today, probably had a bit of a detrimental effect. Although I suppose we have to point out that the goal comes from Gordon and Gray kind of making a few runs in behind and getting in over the top. That goal doesn't happen if Solomon Rondon's up front, so you have to give Lampard, I suppose, some credit for that. But no, it was a frustrating day. I think an immensely frustrating day, because I think there's just the general sense that Everton needs to get 3 points on the board today with some of those games to come.
Yeah, I agree with you that people are being totally unfair to Gordon. Sort of towards the end of the game, was thinking about, I thought it was one of his poorer games in comparison to what we've seen in his past, you know, 20, say, league games stretching back into last season. So because of that, I didn't really want to talk about his performance too much, because I felt like I might suffer some kind of like confirmation bias. Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like a lot of minds were made up before a ball was even kicked today. I don't think his head has been turned. I thought there were moments where, like, he did seem not distracted, but not totally sharp, not reacting as quickly as we've seen him before. Ball's coming over the top, and he's not even like in the wrong position. He's just not even seeing the ball going.
Rondon.
No, Gordon. But
I think he's always had that in his game, hasn't he?
Yes, but I think if he was off the gas a bit today, I don't think it's because he's had his head turned. I don't think it's because he's got one foot out the door or anything like that. If it's anything, I think it might have been weighing on his mind that if he did make mistakes, as all footballers do, the crowd might turn on him and go, oh, here we go, look, you know. And I just felt he was a bit sheepish in the game because of that. I think that's all it was, really. Like you said, when he was involved in the plays and stuff, yeah, he was there, he threw himself in. There was a couple of tackles where he might have bottled it a little bit, and I screamed at him for it, but
I think they got a card early on as well, don't forget, which I think probably stopped him from
aren't we just describing what we've seen from Anthony Gordon now over 12 months?
Possibly, yeah. You might be right.
The same positives, the same negatives.
Yeah.
How far in was the yellow?
About 20 minutes, I think, was it?
I was going to say, because I missed the first 13 minutes because I got to the ground at about 7 minutes to 3. I know, a bit too late. Jeez. And the queue was all the way past the statue for the Gladys Street. It was absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, I didn't get to be seen till like 12, 13 minutes in. So anything that happened in that first bit, I've got no analysis for
probably it. Probably the best we played in the game, those first 15 minutes.
I did ask.
He was good in those. I think he was one of the kind of the key catalysts in that kind of first 10, 15 minutes, wasn't he, Gordon? He had a few
playing on the right hand side.
Playing on the right hand side. Now, obviously, he's going to be better there than he was in the central striking role against both Chelsea and Villa. So we saw him improve there. I think it's just, and it goes across the team. It's that lack of composure with the final pass, that ability to execute the final pass, and that ability to score goals. I mean, a lot has been said already about the fact that Everton had 19 shots on goal today. But I mean, I've already looked at the XG, and the XG is only just above one.
Yeah.
So what that's telling you is there's a load of pot shots at goal, but not much in the way of kind of clear-cut chances.
What would the XG have been for Gray's goal? Like, before it's actually in the net, that's got to be at least, what, a 0.7 or something, a one-on-one with the goalie?
Yeah.
That's usually like a half, isn't it?
0.5, I'd say.
Take that away, and there's not a lot there, is there?
There's another one, and we've mentioned the Gordon chance already. I think, for me, that's an example of the way that he still has to go. The room that he still needs to kind of grow into.
But I also think that was a fantastic bit of goalkeeping. If that was switched around, if that was Pickford doing that, we'd be singing his praises now, because coming out like that, I mean, you might say it might be stupid, like big starfish jumping that.
He commits himself, doesn't he? He commits himself. So I think they're in Gordon's position. From the moment Henderson commits himself, the angle to get it over him completely narrows. And look, this all happens in an instant. So we've got the benefit of hindsight. We can look back at the kind of the slow-mo replays. But even in the ground at the time, to me, I was thinking to myself, just shift it either side.
Yeah.
Because I think Dean Henderson brings him down there. I really do. I think he brings him down, or he has a shot on goal.
And then we're complaining that he didn't get a penalty.
Do you know what that little incident reminded me of a little bit? It sort of speaks to the bigger issue at Everton, is that it reminded me a lot of the Azpilicueta mistake when we played Chelsea at Goodison, and we won 1-0. And the ball that day obviously drops to Richarlison. and he keeps his composure in that instance and scores, and we go 1-0 up. And
you just don't have anybody like that at the moment, do they? Who do you want a chance to fall to
exactly,
at the moment?
Exactly, and that's where we are. That's what happens when you lose a player who is pretty comfortable in front of goal and is quite a good finisher and keeps the head in those moments with a winger who is still very early in his career, who's developing.
I've got an answer for that, actually. The player for a chance like that to fall to, Dele Alli.
Well, probably, yeah, genuinely.
Well, even at the moment, you know, I'm not seeing it yet from him in an Everton shirt. You know, in that position to do that.
But do you know
what I mean? Like that's sort of where we are, isn't it? It sort of sums up where we are. If that ball falls to Richarlison or a player who is of equal quality or maybe a little bit less quality than him, who we've gone out and signed, then someone probably keeps the composure there and starts to do it. Richarlison scores that, doesn't he? He keeps his head there.
But Nottingham Forest had two or three players on the pitch that would have scored that chance at the end. Morgan Gibbs-White, technically good enough to loft it over the keeper. Brennan Johnson's too quick for Pickford and just pushes it round him and slots in, you'd imagine. So there's two or three players there.
And I'm not putting the entire game, chance, but it is those little moments where you think, like, the lack of a high-class forward, you think that's where we are, we are really short. And
I do think there's a wider dilemma for Lampard in this period where Calvert-Lewin's not yet fit enough to return, where a new striker or a new forward hasn't yet been brought in. Do you think there's that wider dilemma? Because you sacrifice something whichever way you go. If you play Salomon Rondon up front, you're sacrificing the mobility that Lampard probably wants, that pressing from the front, that intensity and the high energy style. But you're getting somebody who gives you a bit of a focal point here or there. If you go the other way, as he did against Chelsea and against Villa and in the second half when Dwight McNeil came on, and you play a different kind of forward up there, Damari Gray, Anthony Gordon, or let's say for example Dwight McNeil as it was here, then you're sacrificing the focal point. And at times it kind of felt as though Everton didn't really know what they were playing to. Think about the spell after Rondon goes off. And how many balls went up to Dwight McNeil or Gray or Gordon? And players weren't even competing.
Yeah.
And it's just like tactically, you're kind of all at sea there. You don't really know what's happening. So I think that's the issue for Lampard. He's going to have to sacrifice something in this period. Does he sacrifice the focal point or does he sacrifice the legs? And neither option is kind of particularly pleasant at the moment. Neither option gets Everton where they need to be. Which brings us back around to the main thing here. And the main thing here is until Everton get some goal scorers and get some cutting edge at the top end of the pitch, they are susceptible to these kind of days. And we've already had three of them.
Yeah. Just a couple of players I want to speak about before we finish off. Dwight McNeil, Matt, rough for him today, wasn't it? Coming out and playing up front. That corner was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. I don't think I'll ever quite forget that. And he just seemed to sink a little bit when, you know, things got a little bit tough. And now, obviously, we're not going to sit here and make a judgment on this lad by any means, three games into his Everton career, but he already looks like somebody who's going to need confidence and backing, and it doesn't look like it's going to be the kind of season where we're necessarily going to get there.
No, it won't be. I mean, my feelings on the signing are a matter of public record on Twitter and that, but bringing him on in that situation and that, it was a thankless task. It really was. And if Alex Iwobi can become the player that we've seen for the past three games, then he can turn it around, Dwight McNeil as well.
He's not played a minute, I think I'm right saying this, in his Everton career with a centre forward on the pitch next week.
That's completely true, So once we've got Calvert-Lewin back, we'll see if he can stick some balls on his head and he could be the assist machine. But yeah, I think right now you can't make judgments, can you? Because it's just a thankless task. It really is, and he's not the mobile, nippy player like Damari Gray can be, where he can not fill in for a centre forward, but certainly provide something that will actually give you a goal threat in absence of a centre forward. So it remains to be seen.
He's very Billy Letinov to me. I get those sorts of vibes watching him.
He's quicker than Billy Letinov. I think he is a winger in a way that everybody wanted to see Billy playing inside, didn't they? As a number 10. Never really happened. It's so hard here because you've got a couple of interesting pieces that you need to fit together. The first is that he's not a Richarlison replacement. You're getting a completely different kind of player, so you need to replace the goal somewhere else. Second is, as you say, he's not played with a centre forward, and I think that the one thing that you're getting in Dwight McNeil is somebody who can get the ball out of his feet, make use of his left foot, which on the whole is good. He's a good technical footballer, I think, in the main. Maybe lacks that kind of killer turn of pace, that bit of burst of acceleration to always get away. But he's a good footballer, he's a tidy footballer. We're not really seeing any of that. We're not seeing the technical ability because he's not got anyone to aim for. But I also think if you play him in that role today, then you are setting him up to fail. I don't see how, as a centre-forward, he's meant to thrive within that system. It's just not going to happen. So that's a partial solution at best, and I'd rather it wasn't even a partial solution at this moment in time. It's going to be difficult for him because it's not been a great start, admittedly, even if you take into account all those things. And you could hear the frustration in Goodison, not only with his performance, but with the rest of the teams. And that take you need.
When
you
he tried
a character.
To play that pass, wasn't it? When he tried to play that pass through, and he didn't get anywhere near getting through.
Oh,
and it was sort of like a visceral anxiety and anger, wasn't it?
Well, you need to be a tough character to battle through that. Now he's been up and down in his career so far. I think he had a great start at Burnley, and it obviously tailed off for one reason or another. But he's going to have to show a lot of self-confidence. He's going to have to show a lot of belief. He's going to have to push through this, and then hopefully, combined with the other changes tactically in the team, we might start to see something from him. I just think you can't write anybody off at this stage. Absolutely can't.
Oh, yeah.
And not within this system and this setup. I think that would be really unfair.
And finally, Anana. I don't want that lad anywhere near our own goal when he's on the ball, because as much as he's positive and he's, you know, great cheerleader with the Gladys Street, his touch and his determination seems to do something positive every time he gets on the ball does scare me a little bit, Matt.
Yeah,
he's a bit galoot, but one thing I say about Onana is I thought the decision to book him for that first foul was just pathetic, because he's like, he's gone over and he's obviously, like, his hands have caught the guy's legs. I don't think he's like rugby tackled him or nothing like that, but he's a young kid, home debut, new to the Premier League, and you've got a very experienced referee there.
The referee can't come into his thinking though, surely, if he thinks there's a yellow card. The fact he's a young player shouldn't make a difference.
If it doesn't come into the thinking, why do we see referees giving players warnings? Next one, I'm booking you.
I mean, it happens, but it shouldn't.
But it does, that's the thing. So why in this instance, as you just gone straight away, within seconds of him being on the pitch, gone yellow card, as a defensive midfielder now, you're basically half the player because you're on a yellow card. And then straight after that, up our end, I think it was it Damari Gray, gets taken down as he's about to break away on the wing.
Yeah.
Free kick, no yellow card.
There wasn't much consistency in the refereeing throughout. Yeah. I thought there were a few bizarre decisions. We very nearly had another situation, a rerun of last week, where he comes on and pretty soon after gives the ball away in a dangerous part of the pitch and the opposition breaks forward. And thankfully they didn't score on this occasion, but that could have happened. And I think that shows, obviously, he's a young lad, he's raw. He is going to make mistakes, and maybe we're seeing a little bit of hesitancy from Lampard in terms of putting him in. I'm not entirely sure, by the way, that you want him in just the two. And I think if you play him alongside somebody else, that other player's going to have to be really positionally disciplined and talk him through the game and probably kind of sit in that space when the mistakes are made and mop things up for a while. It's almost, it's kind of a babysitting kind of job, isn't it?
So what you're saying is we need a...
number six.
We need an elder statesman centre midfielder, possibly of similar descent, who maybe knows the club and can guide him through his early stages.
I don't mind who it is, but they need somebody to...
I haven't even gone as that player either, but you know, I don't want to go down into that rabbit hole, but...
Maybe that's the thinking behind the signing, I don't know, but I mean, that's the one positive I can put a spin on that particular link, is that he will be a good...
He's going to be a project. You can see that there are concerted strengths in his game, that there are going to be real plus points, but there are going to be errors along the way as well, and this is not an easy environment in which to come in because of the feeling around the club, the way things have gone on the pitch so far. I'd almost have preferred Davis to have stayed on even with the yellow card, a system change and Onana and Iwobi
pushing on
a little bit more, because I think then that gives Onana a bit more scope, a bit more freedom than he actually had. I wouldn't have taken Davis off it. I really wouldn't, because I actually think he was one of the better players on the pitch, and he kept things ticking over, but he was a presence in those areas in front of the defence. And I think that was a mistake.
Right, well, because you just have to look at the two best teams in this country to see that you can play a front three without a natural target man centre forward if you've got three midfielders behind them. Like, that's,
they're not technically good players.
I know you have to be technically good players, but like what you said, leaving Davis on, bringing Onana on, taking off one of the defenders, so just simple 4-3-3, it might have worked better.
I think that false nine role, above all for me, even if you take away the technical elements or the physical elements, I think the one thing it does really require is intelligence. I think positional intelligence, the idea of when to drop in, when to take the defenders away. And I don't really look at any of Everton's options. That's a big burden for Anthony Gordon to shoulder, for example. It's a big burden for Dwight McNeil to shoulder. I think the one player in the squad that you'd look at and you think he could do that would be Dele Alli, if he was fully on it and doing it. But obviously there are things going on with him, with Besiktas. I don't think they're ever really going to risk him in those scenarios. But I would have started with Dele Alli up front against Chelsea.
Yeah, 100%.
With Gordon from the left, and look, that might have been catastrophic. They might have been able to play out all day, and recorded a comfortable win. But I think that false nine role, it's all well and good talking about movement and all these things. I think you've just got to be really smart to play it, because it's not something that you get coached as you're coming through the ranks. No. You need to use your intuition. Like, you need to use your intuition.
It's like the one player who does it really well is Firmino, isn't it, down the years in the Premier League. Over the like, City seems to play a different player there every week, and they're all obviously really intelligent and can all do it, but now they've got a striker. But
I think Jota does it well for them as well.
Yeah, a lot of work to do, lads, isn't there? A lot of work to do. 1 point after three games coming up.
Yeah, we stopped the rot.
Coming up, Brentford, Leeds away, Liverpool home, Arsenal away, West Ham home. It is a tricky run. It's going to get tough. But let's see. That's been your post-match from the Denby Castle. Quite a quiet today, Denby Castle today, compared to usual. Probably the strikes having something to do with that. I imagine a lot of people just got home after the game, but we're still here. Do you get down here? The derby before and after should be absolutely flying. Certainly, if Everton get a result. I know.
It will lift off like the house up if we get a result.
But next week, we obviously got Fleetwood on Tuesday. I'll be doing a post-match reaction to that. Me and Paddy got the cricket on Saturday, so Dave Downey will be in charge of the Brentford instant reaction, but we'll have all your usual stuff as well.
He can have a moan about Everton's lack of strikers next week. We're obviously all doing it on rotation over the first month of the season.
Look, Ivan Toney and Bueno against that back three, I'm not really looking forward to as well, but we'll get into that in a week. But we'll leave it there. That's been your post-match reaction for Everton 1, Nottingham Forest 1. Enjoy your weekend. Up the toffees, and we'll speak to you again very soon here on the Blue Room. Sports Social Podcast Network.